Good morning. You have tuned in to 88.5 KRFY, and it's the morning show here on Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack, and across from me is Jim. We are your usual Thursday morning co-hosts on a fairly, I would call it a beautiful Thursday, October 6th. Wouldn't you agree, Jim?
It's a sacrifice coming into the studio here because nothing would be finer than to grab a cup of coffee and sit outside and watch the morning come in on us. It is, you got to admit, this is fantastic weather.
I do. As soon as you mentioned how good this weather has been, and I got to thinking that really this whole year, I feel guilty because, of course, there's hurricanes going on in the South.
And yes.
You know, there's been heat waves, droughts, fires, but I feel like 2022 in North Idaho has been just a banner year for weather. From
au contraire.
Okay.
Young right. man. August was awful with the heat.
It was
and
a little
the
warm.
Smoke in the air.
Yeah.
I would agree with you on thus far every month of the year except August. I mean, August just took the wind out of my sails.
Very well.
Yeah. But this weather here, I just love it.
Yeah. I'll give the forecast real quick, and then we can introduce our guest this morning.
Yes.
Today, sunny with a high of 75 degrees, a gentle north wind, 5 to 9 miles an hour.
Is the word gentle in the forecast?
No, I threw that in.
Oh, myself. I was going to say, gentle is not a a weather forecaster's in their vocabulary.
But no, just
I
a
like
little,
it. Yes. A gentle wind.
Just a little color by me. Partly cloudy tonight, low down to 46 degrees. Mostly sunny tomorrow with a high again of 75 degrees. Partly cloudy, low of 45 on Friday night. Saturday, sunny and 74. Clear on Saturday night, down to 45. Sunday, sunny and 74, low down to 45 on Sunday night. And Monday, which is Columbus Day, or it's Columbus Day here. It's called something else. I don't know. Anyway, it's the high of 71.
Thanksgiving Day in Canada.
Oh, you're right. It is. It's Canadian Thanksgiving.
They're only 63 miles away.
Yeah. Well, they got to do it a little earlier. Snow comes
Amen
sooner.
On that.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a high of 71 and mostly sunny. So basically this beautiful weather that we have been having here, it just keeps coming. I think if you trust the National Weather Service to predict out to Wednesday of next week, we have areas of frost predicted.
And usually what follows a frost, if there's a warm spell, Indian summer.
Yeah.
Oh. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's one of my favorite times of year. Real quickly, I want to give a shout out to my sister and brother-in-law who live in Arlington, Virginia, right across the Potomac from the Washington, D.C. And every Thursday, they're tuning in to 88.5 KRFY due to Alexa. They say, Alexa, Bammo. And the weather out there is 65 now, according to my older sister. High of 77 expected, bright and sunny after 5 days of rain. So I wonder if that rain is a little bit of backwash of Hurricane Ian that went up the East Coast.
I suppose so. Yeah. I mean, you would think so, but I don't know enough about meteorology, I guess.
Let's introduce our guest for today, Jack. You're on.
Okay. We have here Jan Pallant, the conductor. Did I pronounce that correctly? Yeah. The conductor of the North Idaho Philharmonia.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning. And we're talking about what's going on this weekend at the Panada Theater, which is, do you want to give the details right off the bat?
Sure. So the concert of the North Idaho Philharmonia is this Friday at 7:30 p.m. at the Panada Theater, following the next day at 2 p.m. That's Saturday's matinee, and this will be a classical music with featuring J.S. Bach and his famous complete six Brandenburg concertos. This will be, first time ever performed in this area, all these complete concertos by J.S. Bach. And we are so grateful to bring this to our wonderful community this Friday and Saturday.
I'm sure that there are classical music lovers out there who know exactly what you're talking about, Jan. I am not familiar that much with classical music. And by the way, I love the way you say Bach. Can you say that again for me?
Absolutely. J.S. Bach. I'm sorry for my European accent.
Love. Do not apologize. English never sounded so good.
Thank you.
Now, where are you from?
I'm originally from Prague, Czech Republic. That's where I grew up and was raised. And this is my 10th year in the United States.
And how many years in Idaho?
I have been living in Idaho since 2018.
Okay.
So it will turn out to be fourth year this year.
And so where did you do? Well, I know Prague.
I was just going to say, Jim, didn't you spend your European time?
I spent 2 years in Bratislava.
Really?
Yeah.
I see.
At the time, the country
Slovakia.
Was known as Czechoslovakia.
I see.
You know,
I
that see. Artificial putting together of the Czech Republic and the Slovak Republic. And,
I see.
This was during when it was still an Iron Curtain country.
Absolutely.
And Prague is breathtaking. I mean, that's all I can say. I mean,
thank you.
It just, walking across Charles Bridge.
I see.
Just.
I've been all these places. Sure. Thank you very much. It sounds good to hear that.
You've got good roots.
Thank you.
Okay, now how did you become interested in classical music? Mm-hmm. It would be even more difficult. How did you not become?
Yeah.
Because the place just emanates.
Absolutely. Sure. I was always involved with the classical music since my childhood. My parents, they are musicians, classically trained musicians.
Okay.
And when I was 5 years old, I started to take violin lessons.
Okay.
And later entered Prague Conservatory on viola. It was my first string instrument. And I think when I was 17, 18, I got opportunity to perform in Japan. As a conductor, they asked me to not only play as a violist, but they needed someone to work with the orchestra over there. And I had no experience at that time. However, I realized that to be working with orchestra and to create unique sound and making music together was something I really could not live without, I would say. So eventually I also took classically trained conducting lessons and entered Pittsburgh, Carnegie Mellon, and Kentucky University, and that brought me to United States. And again, this is going to be my 10th year.
Okay.
I'm so grateful to be here. And
well,
this is my life conducting.
It's great to have you here. I am very ignorant. You know, I know the gestures of a conductor, you know, the waving of the hands, and we've all seen parodies of it. You said you went to conducting school. What does a conductor do?
I see, absolutely. It's kind of sometimes I would say mystical activity as we see the conductor conducting in front of orchestra, and he or she's not really creating any sound. I see. I would say my view on conducting is that the conductor is like, let me give you an example, like a jockey with the horse. The horse can run itself, like the orchestra would be able to create sound without conductor. However, if the horse has a good jockey, hopefully, then the horse can run faster. So I believe the conductor is a person who can help the orchestra to play them even better and better, to give them kind of direction in which speed they should be playing, to help them, to let them know when to start, to cue them, to create some magical atmosphere, hopefully, on the stage. Conductor's main job, I would say, is at the rehearsals. There are very limited rehearsal times, usually 2 or 3, maximum 4 rehearsals for about 2-2.5 hours. And the conductor and the orchestra, they need to play music up to 90 minutes on the program.
Mm-hmm.
That, and when having 50, 60, 70 musicians in the orchestra, I think the conductor can help to speed up the rehearsal process at the rehearsal, timings. All times, 50, 60, 70 years ago, there were more time for rehearsals. Conductor would have 8-9 rehearsals usually. This is not necessarily happening today anymore. So I would say again, the conductor's main job is to help the orchestra to get ready for the show as fast as possible and, of course, as best as possible. The conductor, I think, is also a kind of manager. He or she is managing the financial stuff of the orchestra to help to get the budget, the fundraisers, to basically make sure that the orchestra is in a good shape, financially speaking. So many, many things.
You wear many hats. I'd like to go back to, you have, what is the size of the North Idaho Philharmonia?
Sure.
How many musicians are we talking about?
I see. This concert will feature, I think, 28 musicians.
Usually, that's small, isn't it?
That's a still chamber, smaller size of orchestra, exactly.
Okay.
Sometimes Philharmonia would have up to 50 or even 60 musicians on the stage, depending on the program, music program.
Okay.
Bach Brandenburg Concerto that's going to be played this Friday and Saturday calls just for approximately 30 musicians. So this time it will be a little smaller size of the group. It will have strings, violins, violas, cellos, bass, and few winds such as flutes, oboes, clarinets, bassoons. No clarinets. Hamfronk, bassoons, and
no licorice sticks
and horns. It's kind of interesting that Bach didn't include clarinets in this piece. He did do that very often, but not in this piece. So I wasn't correct in this. Anyway, yeah.
So
percussion. That's all.
No percussion. So as a conductor, do you have a skill with each instrument in the, I mean, by if we set you right down with a viola, you could play it.
Sure.
Violin, you could do it.
Absolutely.
These different instruments, does a conductor have a skill set for?
I see the point. I think conductor, right. I think the conductor should understand what's the technique that each section is using, how the winds are breathing, where they need to take a breath in the task of the strings, where the music players need to change the bowings when they use bows. All these things I think should be very clear to the conductor. I wouldn't say the conductor needs to necessarily be super great player. He should understand basically also the psychology, how to have all these great artists on the stage be communicating with each other, breathing together, not that much being involved as a player, but more like a psychologist to make sure that all these instruments are, all the musicians on the stage are listening to each other, communicating body languages, and basically that's where he's or she is there for, I would say. Yeah.
Can you play the bassoon?
I can play a little bit trumpet. I wish I could be. I can play a little bassoon, but I'm better in trumpet. And eventually, I got degrees in violin and viola as a string player.
Yeah,
this was my main subject.
Are there different like schools of conducting?
Training.
I mean, of what
absolutely,
you do?
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. I think United States and Europe has their unique view on conducting training. I prefer, actually, American one, if I can be honest. I enjoyed very much European one as well. I think in Europe, the conductor is basically working with the piano. There are two pianists playing the music score, and the conductor is supposed to conduct and then eventually stand in front of the orchestra. Here in the United States, the conductor is kind of, let me use the word, thrown right away in front of the orchestra. And he or she has to be able to right away, like a fish, jump to the water and go for it. I think that's great. I love it.
Yeah.
To be more specific in details, I would say the conductors in the United States in general, I'm not saying everyone, but in general, don't need to be always such a great keyboard players. They need to be great psychologists, composers, eventually great string players. In Europe, there is a strong emphasis on being a good keyboardist, to be able to play music scores. Again, I think both schools are great. I enjoy the American very much.
Do you find that you are more expressive or less expressive than, you know, other conductors that you see out?
I see. I like emotional conductors when they put their imagination, their fantasies, their stories. So yes, emotional part is maybe something, emotional type of conducting is something I'm very much in favor of. However, to be honest, getting little older step by step, I feel like it's not necessarily about conductors' gestures. I am sounding maybe little unexpectable. I think the conductor is there to give the energy through his body language. So I would say the less gestures the conductor would use, that's also something that would be appreciated by the orchestra. I'm hoping in the future I'll be maybe less emotional and less on the earth, less jumping. But I would say at this stage of life, it's still about putting a lot of energy in. So, yeah, thank you for this great question. Absolutely.
Well, I'd like to continue on this, and then we'll get talking about the Brandenburg Concertos that will be heard at the Panetta Theater on Friday and Saturday. If I'm a musician in your orchestra, you know, and I'm out in the audience listening to this, as an individual musician, you know, I'm focusing on my instrument, I'm looking at the sheet music. Am I looking at you?
I see the point, absolutely. This is a great, great point. I think, as you said, the musicians, the artists in the orchestra, they are quite busy with their music sheets, making sure that everything is in a great shape. But basically, they watch conductors in general sometimes, only when they need to get a cue, to get a clear idea of the tempo. But they still, even if they don't watch the conductor, I do believe they still appreciate if the conductor is kind of not conducting, but being with them, psychologically speaking, breathing, looking at them, and all these details that would help each section at the right time to stand up from their part. So I wouldn't say, as you pointed out, that the musicians would be necessarily watching all the time the conductor. They need to feel that the conductor is with them.
Is there.
Exactly.
Okay.
Psychologically speaking.
Right.
Great, great point. Absolutely.
Not to go off on too much of a tangent, but for your personal history, you came over to the United States for college. You went to Carnegie Mellon. Was that always a goal? You always wanted to come to the United States?
Exactly. I was always very passionate about the United States. I've been here once when I was like 5, 6, 7 years old, and it was great experience. It was California. Then I came back to Europe and eventually also spent a few years in Japan, 6, 7 years. However, I always learned that United States is it's a land of everything. Everything is possible, and everything is kind of moving forward. I was really excited to have opportunity to enter Carnegie Mellon and learn more and more about the United States, and eventually really felt like this is my home, and so grateful to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you with us.
And I'm sorry to mention one more thing. I also learned that the conductor in the United States is also kind of person who is doing administrative things, helping on the offstage things.
I
really was excited about, and I love.
Now, do you get to choose the music?
Thank you. I usually pick up 80-90% of the music and discuss this with the board of directors. Mostly I have the opportunity to pick up the music. If I guest conduct at other places, I have to sometimes, not I have to, I hate to say this word, but I am asked to conduct some specific piece, and I usually gratefully would do that. I like to learn new scores. With orchestra, I work as a music director. I would pick up the music, I'd say like 80-90%, so mostly, yes. As a ghost conductor, but as a music director.
You don't have to give any specific names, but are there kinds of classical music that you'd prefer not to conduct?
I see. I think that's a great question. I would say only when the music score is, You know, there are some pieces I still don't completely understand. That doesn't mean that they are not great pieces. However, maybe I'm not still in the stage of life that I'm ready to conduct them.
Got it.
Yes, I would say, for example, several 20th century music by Russian composers. I'm not shy to mention that Stravinsky or Shostakovich. I think they are fabulous composers. I'm still not completely ready to jump to this music. I would like to in the future, definitely. Sure, we can still find few music scores coming back to the history, to the 16th, 17th century that are not masterfully written, not well orchestrated. Maybe I would still not be confident doing those pieces, but that's another topic.
But with the Brandenburg Concertos, yes, you're at home.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, for somebody who, I'm sure there will be people in the audience who know the Brandenburg Concertos, the six of them, you know, inside and out. For somebody who does not know, can you provide a context for Bach's concertos?
Absolutely. I think Johann Sebastian Bach and his six Brandenburg Concertos are one of the first orchestral pieces, string music. This is the beginning of the 18th century. Beforehand, there used to be a lot of choirs. A lot of music were written for choirs, eventually small operas, and the string ensembles with winds were very, very rarely seen on the stage. I would say Brandenburg Concertos by Bach are first, I would say, officially called instrumental music without choir. Each of the Brandenburg Concertos, there are six of them, has their own instrumentation. For example, the first concerto includes horn players, brasses. The second one includes also several wind instruments such as flutes, oboes. The third one has only strings, no winds, etc., etc. And there are a group of soloists, which are individual musicians playing their own parts, versus a group of musicians that are kind of, let me say, fighting with each other or having maybe dialogue. So the melody is played by the soloist, followed up by the group of musicians. And this is called concerto grosso, where these two groups are interacting and it's like talking between two people, question, answer, these kind of things. I would say these Brandenburg concertos are very much, as we discussed, not for large orchestra, it has only 28 musicians, but it can create imagination of having like 100-120 musicians by making sure that the sound is combined. So we have strings, we have winds, we have harpsichord. There's also harpsichord that is creating kind of maybe guitar sound a little bit with this string crunchy sound. And having all these three types of sounds to put it into one timbre, I think might hopefully create some interesting energy on the stage. Let's see what's going to happen.
let's take a break. But one of the things that I lament is Jack and I get the opportunity to see your hand movements as you speak. You are energetic, you are alive, and I'm sure it comes across to our listeners with your passion and your voice, but the gestures that you're doing, playing the different instruments, it's like we're on the stage with you. I love it. I did cue up Brandenburg Concerto number 2 in F. That's the trumpet, recorder, oboe, and violin. Allegro Assai, A-S-S-A-I. What does A-S-S-A-I mean?
It means fast, super fast. Fast.
Faster than normal. Allegro. This will give you an idea of, and you know, I think that this would be a great opportunity for not only classical music lovers, but for bring your children, you know, let them hear this music, because this doesn't come here that often, and when it does, it needs to be heard. Here is Brandenburg Concerto number 2, and we're going to pick up with Jan Pellant after this and talk more about concertos and classical music here on 88.5 KRFY.
Well, that was Johann Sebastian Bach. Well, not in person, but that was the Brandenburg Concerto number 2 in F. We are here with Jan Palant. Pronounce your last name for me. I'm sorry.
Exactly. It was Palant.
Okay. More emphasis on the second syllable. Who is the conductor of the North Idaho Philharmonia? That is one of the pieces you may hear this weekend if you choose to go to the Panetta Theater on Friday or Saturday, October 7th or 8th, and see the North Idaho Philharmonia in concert performing the Brandenburg Concertos, which when we left off, I think you were kind of saying this is really the beginning of orchestral music, of instrumental music in Europe anyway.
Hmm. Exactly. Thank you. North Idaho Philharmonia is very much excited to have our community to bring us together for a moment for this classical music piece by J.S. Bach. It's very rarely performed, all these Brandenburg concertos at one night. I even haven't found in Europe recently being this piece performed so often, and this is such an artistic place and point, and we are grateful to bring this to our wonderful community this Friday, Saturday. Yeah.
So how long? This is Friday night at the Panetta Theater at 7:30, but there's a half hour before at 7 o'clock.
Exactly.
What's going to happen in that half hour, Jan?
I see. There will be a short pre-concert talk discussed by the soloist of the pieces. Mm-hmm. There will be concertmaster, the first chair. There will be also the first cello player and the first viola and several other instruments that will be discussing their approach on this piece, including myself. We will be discussing what are our approach on this music making, what the listener should be listening for, and a little bit of the background of this piece, the history, what were the authentic type of performances. Mm-hmm. How did people play this piece in at the beginning of the 18th century with their authentic instruments? They used to use these so-called viola da gambas. Those are instruments that look like a cellos that are held between two legs and having also four strings, a specific type of sound. So we will be discussing all these things 30 minutes before each show with our guest artists, including myself and so on.
I have to smile a little bit because the order of where people sit on the stage, the artists sit on the stage. You know, I just thought whoever arrives early gets to sit there and whatever.
Absolutely.
But, you know, you mentioned first chair, second chair, and I'm sure that that's a world that I'm totally oblivious to. But as a conductor, and I'm sure the musicians, the artists themselves are terribly aware of position.
Exactly. Each musician in the orchestra has a specific, unique, seat in the orchestra, first chair, second chair, third chair, especially in this piece by Bach. Each part has a specific job, which is also very unique for this piece. There are very few instrumental pieces where each musician is responsible for his or her part. Usually in the orchestras, we would have, for example, 10 or 12 first violins playing the same part, or 10 or 12 cello players playing the same exact parts. Not the case of this Brandenburg concertos. There is, again, 28 musicians. Each of them are responsible for their own part, and this is something also very unique. And yes, as you said, they have their specific spots on the stage. Someone is standing on the left side, someone on the right side. Everyone will be standing, or mostly everyone. And we want to create a sound that will lead to the roof to make sure that the roof will fall down.
No. I'm on the Panada board.
Absolutely.
And our roof needs attention.
Exactly. Sure.
Jan, please don't do that.
Absolutely.
I am excited because I'm volunteering for both events. So I will.
Thank you very much.
I will be at the theater. I'm sort of interested. Well, you know, if you have children, there's a Saturday performance at 2:30, and at 2:00 they'll be meeting the different artists and the conductor. So bring your children. I mean, introduce them to music at an early age, because that's something that lasts a lifetime. You've got a young one.
I do.
Now, has James been introduced? Oh, James is how old?
He's not yet two. He might be a little young for the Brandenburg concertos.
What does he hear at home? I mean, that is he
good question.
When
you
put music on, does he bounce up and down?
Well, it's oftentimes Otto's eclectic mix. He does. Yeah, he is a dancer. He will start to groove with anything that's on, which we never even taught him. That's just a natural response that he's always had, which I imagine most children do. Yes, anything with a beat, he will
bounce.
He kind of start to move.
You said, you said your parents were musicians.
Exactly.
So you grew up with music around you.
Exactly. My father was a violin player. My mother, piano and harpsichord player. And I started to take lessons from my father from the
AL. Okay.
He was involved as a concertmaster in several orchestras around the world, and basically I had no choice than to do music.
But
I'm joking a little bit, they didn't recommend me to do music. I was very stubborn, I have to say, and finally I think I got some support also from them, and now I could not live without orchestra sound.
How long does the six concertos take, for somebody who might bring a child to the Friday night performance?
It's approximately going to be 2 hours of this intermission.
Absolutely.
The music itself would have, I would say, 90, 95 minutes. So with clapping and intermission, it might go up to 2 hours. And again, each concerto has really specific mood. I would say it's for all ages.
Okay.
Some concerto is kind of very joyful, very light. Some concerto is maybe a little more dramatic, more kind of philosophical. The other concerto is kind of more technically involved, showcasing the musician. So there is each of everything in each concerto. I would love to bring this to all ages, and that would be wonderful.
So, sort of like, you know, the parent who has six children, you know, which one's your favorite? If I asked you which one of the six concertos, you don't have to say what it is, but do you have a favorite?
I see. I have favorite concertos for specific type of things. It's difficult to say which concerto is the... I love them all. I really love them all.
The wise parent.
I can only say the last concerto, number six, has two solo violas performing. I'm myself a violist. I used to play this concerto number six several times myself as a string player. This is something very unique, having two violas playing as a soloist in front of the orchestra. This is something comes to my mind. Definitely.
My notes say two violas da gamba.
That's exactly.
What does da gamba mean?
I see that's da gamba, viola da gamba is the original type of viola that was coming from the 17th century. It was holded between two legs and played with the specific bow that looked like Luke. When we use this specific instrument. However, the viola da gamba transferred to the nowadays new looking violas like violin. They are not anymore being used that often as they used to be in 18th century. But viola da gamba is the original term for violas. Those are the authentic instruments. They were a little bigger, having little deeper sound, different type of bow holding. So these were the origins of the today's violin and viola that we see on the stage.
Huh.
Basically.
Are you yourself kind of a music historian?
Thank you. I am trying to be, I would say a little bit, not fully. However, I enjoy learning about authentic old instruments and learning, understanding what the people were doing in the 17th, 18th century, how they understood the music. It's not like today, the people didn't come for the shows, they didn't have concerts, the music were performed on the courts, at the castles, even on the streets, and the so-called shows, concert events that we have today, that was starting from the end of the 19th century. So the meaning of the music was so different at that time, and the way how the musicians use their instruments, did they play well or was it just okay music performance? So many questions are always there.
Yeah.
This is my other passion next to being performer, I would say. But I'm not professional musicologist. I'm just trying to be, trying to understand, and I'm passionate about knowing a little bit about the history of music in this way, I would say.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Well, my question is really like, are we going to hear on Friday and Saturday night pretty close to what you think it must have sounded like the first time?
I see. This will be, we will go for the specific type of music making from the 17th century. However, played with the modern instruments, with the today's instruments, the phrasing and the type of sound will be very similar to what was happening in the 17th and 18th century. So less vibrato, those are the specific type of wowing sound that will be not that much used. Faster bow using. The type of sounds that people were doing at the 17th century, we will try to a little bit imply even on Friday and Saturday. However, on the modern instrument, so not viola da gambas, it will be modern violins, violas. However, combination of both. Phrasing will be coming from the 17th century. However, we will see the today's instrument on the stage. I think it's important to keep also the track with our century. And I think if Johann Sebastian Bach, at his time, if he would know that he could use the modern instruments that we have today, I think he would go for it. He would like to imply it. So I feel I feel he would not be offended, hopefully, that this Fridays and Saturdays show will go under today's instruments.
Well, I sometimes wonder, the listener, you know, in terms of, let's say, I attend on Friday night and I go, wow, that's great, and I can go out and buy a CD of the Brandenburg Concertos, rather than, oh, when is Jan going to come back around again, you know, four or five months later, you know, that listening is probably different.
Exactly. To basically feel that the concert is one time, life-changeable, exactly. Whereas otherwise, I could stay at home, listen to recordings, and not enjoy the shows, exactly.
You know, that I can reinforce, whereas back in
the magic
the 1700s, this is right here and now.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Absolutely.
You have to pay close attention and memorize it, because this one has to stay with you.
It's not going to be when you get home again to your castle or whatever, unless you have your own private little group who plays for you.
Yeah,
that,
sure.
You know, that, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we'll do this stuff.
To wrap your mind around that is amazing.
Absolutely.
We've been in conversation here with Jan Pallant, the conductor of the North Idaho Philharmonia. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. The concert is this weekend, Friday and Saturday, October 7th and 8th. And I just want to make sure we're leaving time to mention our online auction before
we let Jan go. There is something happening on Sunday. You can have a brunch with him.
Oh, really?
Yes. It says here on my notes that you are invited to join Jan Pallant with the North Idaho Philharmonia, conductor, and support future orchestra performances. More information to come. You can go to sandpointconservatory.org. And I'm sure that you can, if you attend on Friday night or Saturday afternoon, you can find out more information there.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. This will be Sunday's matinee at 3 p.m. at the Little Carnegie Hall at the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint.
Right.
The mission of the Philharmonia will be introduced, and the plans for the guest artists in the future coming from all over the world. And again, it's so great to be in this wonderful community. Thank you so very much.
Well, I can't tell you that it just warms my heart to have you here, that we have... You've walked across Charles Bridge. I have many a time with a little bit of fog, and it's magical.
Situations.
What makes one of the things, real briefly, that makes Prague so incredible, it was the only capital in Eastern Europe that was not bombed during World War II. So everything is just the way it was.
Yeah.
And it's a city for lovers. You know, I thought, you know, to walk around in the mornings from the Vltava River, just
absolutely
great.
Thank you.
Jan, so good to have you here. And I'll be seeing you tomorrow night and on Saturday afternoon at the Panet. Again, tickets are at the door. You can get them at the door. This will be the North Idaho Philharmonia performing the Brandenburg Concertos with Jan Pallant as the conductor at 7:30, but at 7 o'clock, you can meet the conductor and hear from the musicians, as well as 2 o'clock on Saturday performance at 2:30. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule.
Thank you so much. It was so great to be here.
Good to have you. We're going to switch out as Jan exits. On this date in 1969, probably the one Beatle who does not get enough credit. He got finally the A side of a 45 RPM release with this song. I mean, all the time it was another Lennon McCartney. Here is what he got, an A side of a two-sided 45 RPM record. You'll know this song the moment you hear the opening chords.